Welcome to the Big Mike Fund Podcast, where you learn about advanced wealth building strategies from real estate investing to creating massive ROI and secured retirement profits. So pour yourself a cup of coffee, grab a notepad, and lean in, because Big Mike has got the mic, starting now.
Welcome to the Big Mike Fund Podcast. I'm the Big Mike, Mike Zlatnik, and today it is my distinct pleasure and a privilege to welcome the guest number one. He was on the very first episode. He's my close friend and brother from the Collective Genius Mastermind, Mr. Corey Boatwright. Hi, Corey.
Big Russian. Big Mike, what's going on, buddy? Thanks for having me on here. Appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you coming on board. We've been friends for years, and your wisdom and your experience and your friendship is greatly appreciated. And I appreciate, thank you again for coming on the podcast. So, how have you been? What's been new in the world of Corey Boatwright?
So there's a lot. So on the personal side, we just got back from Cancun, actually from one of the recommendations that you had over there. We joined the all-inclusive resort with some family members. My wife is Asian, and so we have a lot of family members on her side, not as many on my side. We have a bunch of people on her side that travel a lot more, and we decided to go in together and do one of those little timeshares over there. But it's been absolutely crazy, awesome, all-inclusive, bring the kids over there at the Moon Palace. So I have two kids, and a lot of folks in our family have a lot of kids, so it's great for them. So we just got back from there in May. And then my birthday was in June 9th. My wife's birthday was June 2nd. So we had a cool little celebration while we were there. And that was fun. So we were over there for a little over 10 days. And then we came back. I got some things done. Did a couple of events and things. And then the kids went with their dad. These are my stepkids. So they went with their dad to Europe. So the kids had like a rough life. Like they came back from Cancun, Mike. And then they like hang out for like another week and then went to Europe with their dad. And then Leslie and I decided to go to San Diego to hang out after Collective Genius with Jason Medley, the founder of Collective Genius. And I stayed there in San Diego in La Jolla for a couple of days, and that was awesome. His wife and Ava, their adorable daughter, and Leslie and I went up there and hung out. And then we went home from there. But it's been great just to be able to travel and all along still closing deals. In the world of investing, in the world of business and entrepreneurship, you have your ups and downs of things. I certainly have had a few this year that have really stretched me. But one thing that I always think about is either you flex or fold whenever you get hit with different adversities, Mike. And often those adversities make you better. And they produce things out of you that you wouldn't otherwise be thinking about. So the stress test is often a very good thing, even though at the time it can be fairly challenging. So on the personal side, that's been fun. On the business side, we're acquiring now two multifamily assets. So when this closes over the next 120 days, I'll have just right at 1,000. Units, Mike, that will all be under my management and ownership, which will be over $40 million in assets, which is pretty exciting on my end, because normally I would have over the last maybe 2.5 years, approaching three now, that I have really started to think more in the multifamily space and the commercial space. I know that something that you've been doing for a while now, but it's something that I have really been taking a hold of, and I got some fantastic partners. Two of those, the partners in Collective Genius, Corey Peterson, Sean Terry was in the group for a while. He's my partners in the first two, which is almost 430 doors on those two assets. And then the other two that we're acquiring, Sean and Corey will be on the 356 bed, and then a 250 unit with my partners, Adam Adams from the Real Blue Spruce Group in Colorado. And so what I've learned in this multifamily world, Mike, is it's a team sport, and you do need to have the right people on the bus, and who you're working with means all the difference in the world. And it's much, much different than the single family world. And in some ways, a lot easier, quote, But on other ways, it's certainly it's a lot slower. It's a lot slower, but it has big financial benefits. It has big life benefits, which is more important, and it creates cash flow. So those are some really exciting things that are going on right now.
Corey, thanks for the update. That was a very comprehensive personal and intro into the business update. I appreciate the update. It sounds like you've had some great R&R time and back into the active business with partners. I certainly agree that it's critically important who you associate with. Your partners and your top five, and even if you go beyond, if you associate with strong winners, you will be a winner. If you associate yes. with losers, he who lies down with dogs shall rise with fleas.
You're going to get fleas, right? Yeah.
So that's great to hear. So let me just focus on multifamily investing, because it's certainly a phenomenal transition. Having 1,000 doors with partners is a great accomplishment. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So one quick comment that I'm going to make, and again, having done enough residential and commercial, the big difference, at least what I see, is commercial, you have professional management, and you can truly be passive. You can acquire assets. Your whole game is about finding assets, finding financing, raising capital, acquiring them, and obviously interacting with property manager, but you're not day-to-day active. With residential, it's a little bit more involved, even though you could still have third-party property manager. You have a lot of small assets. Here you have one big or a few big assets. So let's talk a little bit about that. So how have you been able to find these deals? Because the key to finding deals is find some kind of distress. It's either distressed property or distressed seller. So how you with Sean and with Corey and other partners been able to find deals? I remember we were chatting, you were sending a bunch of these FedEx UPS packages to owners. What works? How do you find a good multifamily deal, find a motivated situation?
Well, so that's a question that I'm still on the quest of really wanting to figure out more and more. We just sent out one of our first, we've been working on it for a while, but a first multifamily, really focused, dedicated letter. And I'm a student of marketing, so I love marketing. So one of my quests is really figuring out a way to get in touch with owners of these assets, 70 plus units and above, because at 70 plus units, typically you have an on-site manager, and it makes sense whenever you're doing a syndication. By the way, all these deals that I'm involved in is a part of a syndication. So I want to make sure I'm clear on that. And so these are, it's exciting to be able to think about how you can get to an owner of an asset like that, just as you would in a way that I've done in my single family business. My single family business still to this day does over 100 single family flips or wholesales, excuse me, not a fix and flip, but wholesales. A year. We focused on that. We've been going up every year for several years now. Last year, we did 113 deals. And so we're still got a great team, crushing it there, lean and mean. I'm not a big fan of going broad and going deep. I'm a fan of going deeper. And so this marketing element with single family was something that's always resonated with me. How do you create a better marketing piece to get a better conversion, right? To get a better response rate, right? From sending out big mass postcards, 40, 50, 60,000 postcards or, 5, 10,000 letters. How do you do it? So what you're alluding to was one of the deals that I did with Sean Terry, and I'm not allowed to go into all the details of specifics of that deal. But I can tell you that one of the way that we procured the buyer was doing a direct mail piece and finding the buyer. I found that asset from basically boots on the ground in Oklahoma of finding people that knew that I was looking for multifamily assets. And so
let me interrupt in this. Sure. That's a quick sure. point. So is this a good strategy to go local, to go find your neck of the woods, you're in Oklahoma? Yes. In Oklahoma City, is yeah. that the right strategy? Do you feel that that's a great way to try to find these assets? Just go locally, create a list, and try to find every owner of every asset as much as you can locally.
I think you have to be smart, and when you're looking at your MSAs, And I think in order to target an MSA, you have to really be aware of all of the pieces of that that looks good for if you're going to do a syndication where you're going to have investors coming in and looking at that asset and looking at the potential for appreciation, looking at what job growth is and looking at the economy in your area. All real estate is local, right? It's all local. And so what's different here in Oklahoma City, which is where I am, and 10 counties make up about, you know, a little over 1.3, 1.4 million people. In Oklahoma City, it's only about 600,000 or 700,000. So that's a smaller area. But what's great about it is if you know how to use data to market, then you have some advantages, just like you see these companies like Opendoor and OfferPad and these other companies that are coming out, these iBuyers, they're using data to find motivated homeowners. Well, the wholesalers or the fix and flippers or the guerrilla marketers like myself, my company that have been building relationships in the direct mail world, in the direct response world for marketing, we've been sending out these mail pieces for years and years and years and years and years. And people keep those mail pieces. They may not want to sell now, but they'll keep them later. So to your question, yes, it's so important if you're in an area and that you want to just dominate in Oklahoma City. I felt like I could do that for a couple of reasons. One, I know the area very, very well. In Oklahoma, I grew up in Oklahoma. And so I know this place, you know, like the back of my hand. I've been doing deals here for many, many, many years. And so I know the areas very well, too. And I also have been digging more and more into the data on the commercial side and understanding what Oklahoma City is doing different than, for example, Tulsa, or my gosh, 3 hours up north of us. I'm sorry, down south of us is Texas, right? So Texas is blowing up right now. Everyone's moving to Texas. It's blowing up for, but their MSA in Dallas and 150 miles away from Dallas-Fort Worth is much, much different than it is in Oklahoma City. So you can't compare Dallas to Oklahoma City. But what you can do, Mike, is you can become a someone that in your area that is known for purchasing multifamily assets. And so how do you get the word out? Well, the ways you get the word out is you want to befriend and learn about brokers the very, very best way possible. I'm talking about a way that you want to get on a cell phone basis. When I say a cell phone basis, a text basis with the brokers in your area, where if they have a deal come up, right, you want to be in the top 3 or 5 people that they send that message to. Because if you're under that, my experience is you're going to get the scraps. You're not going to get the stuff that is, quote, good. Plus, a lot of these brokers will not list on LoopNet right away because they want to get both sides of the transaction. And great for them. They want to make more money. They didn't get into this business not to make money. So they're looking at making money, but they're also looking at dealing with people that understand the game. And that doesn't mean that you have to done your first deal yet. Let me say that. You don't have to have done your first deal just to understand the game. But what you better understand is leverage and building a team around you of people that have done deals. So it has it. My first deal that I did, right, University Crossing with Corey, the one we actually buy and hold and still have right now. That was a deal. I haven't done a deal before, but with Corey, I was able to leverage and work with Corey as a part of my team. So you want to start thinking about in the multifamily world, especially team. Who's on your team? Who's your legal team? Who have they worked with? Who is your GPs? Who are your KPs, right? Who are the people in your group that have done deals and that you can kind of create a nice little PDF of showing a deal packet, showing experience, and also what you've done, right? What you've done is experience as well. So don't leave that out, certainly, but you can bolt on to your team. That's very, very important. The second thing is when you're talking to these brokers, Mike, you want to understand the lingo. You want to understand what a T12 is. I know some people listening right now, they're like, oh, doesn't everybody know what that is? No, they don't know what a trailing 12 is when you say T12. They don't understand what's the benefit of asking for rent rolls. They don't understand about asking for 2 years taxes or PIP P&Ls. They don't understand these kind of questions, because it's not that part of that lingo that goes with single family investors, right? We're just looking at a motivated seller that says, I want to get out. Well, in this world of multifamily, you still want to find motivation, but it's a different kind of motivation. Go ahead.
I'll let you finish.
Here's the kind of motivation that I'm seeing in the multifamily world. Legal partners that have gotten to issues and they're suing each other, right? People that have gotten divorced and it gets really sticky because they haven't done what it's going to look like for the decree when that goes through with that multifamily, and you got investors involved, partners involved, right? You're upset of because you have people that are managing the asset, and you're upset, but you're traveling all the time. Lifestyle, number one, lifestyle. People get in, they start making all this money, they thinking this asset's going to take care of itself. One thing I've learned is that just because you have a business manager, just because you have operations manager, just because you have a property management company, just because you have contractors and you have folks that are supposedly supposed to run things, if you're not on top of them, if someone's not on top of them daily on accountability and weekly on calls, right? And if you're not on top of them, understanding what their responsibility is and when it's supposed to be done by, right? If you're not on top of that, if you're not getting a variance report, right? If you're not looking at your lease up report, if you're not on top of these things, they won't be either. They won't be either. They're going to follow your lead, right? And if you think you're micromanaging someone, well, it may not be the right person to be involved, because guess what? You are, especially in syndication, it's so important that a property management company will make or break your asset, right? Let me say it again. A property management company can make or break your asset. I don't care if you're buying at a 9, 10, 11, 15 cap, you can still lose money. I don't even worry about cap rates as much now, Mike, when I just look at the overall picture of what's going on with the asset. Show me the financial picture of what's going on with this asset. I can tell you if they're spending too much money on employees. I can tell you if they're spending too much money on advertising. I can tell you if they have any rubs or not, there's a potential there, right? I can tell you all these different places of where you can make money, where they're losing money, right? And that's why you got to know how to play this game.
Great. Thank you. I think that was a couple of great points. I'm just going to sort of summarize I wholeheartedly agree with you with the fact that the operating management is the key component. So they can make or break your assets. I agree with you. Right? That makes a ton of sense. And certainly agree that it's the team sport, especially with large or not even a smaller assets. It's still a team on the acquisition side, on the finance side, and on the execution side. So. And a lot of these interesting point you made is that you could have motivated seller who have mismanaged the asset, and the asset value is significantly lower. So maybe trading at the lower cap rate, but it's not necessarily what its potential. So the value as strategy could significantly improve the asset, its performance, and the value add needs to have sharp execution. So we are exactly on the right page. We invest in a lot of these deals. The reason we invest, it's because it's exactly that, the value add strategy. Part of the value add is certainly improvement operations. They can have inefficient operation, inefficient marketing of the units, and so on and so forth. In addition to that, there's obviously when there's renovations involved, and that's a significant management issue. So if you can renovate units and do it well, and you can execute the asset management, that creates a whole lot of upside. So we're on the same page. Now let's talk a little bit about the financing side. Financing does make a big difference. And the reason I want to shift there is because the interest rates are going down, or have been going down. And
right.
There's a continuous talk of Fed going from neutral into easing. So what does it do to the multifamily sector? It certainly lowers the cost of financing. And I think it makes it easier for people to acquire. Obviously,
right.
Competitive situation, the lower interest rate increase the sales price. If it's a competitively bid property, you can get that money cheaper. You right. As a buyer can sort of pay a little more. But given the fact that you look for non-competitive deals, or at least you try to find deals off the market, not competitive properties, distressed, some level of distress. So right. What does financing do to these type of deals? Are you still able to get same terms and loans, just lower rate? Can you get more money? What's been your experience? What are your observations?
So right now, depending, and you're the expert on this, and I have other people on the team that really put more and more emphasis on this. So this is not my biggest emphasis, but I can give you the understanding of the rules of the game. The longer that you can get a loan, right, the more time that you're going to have as some kind of correction takes place. I do not like to get into situations, if all possible, and I haven't been with my partners in this situation at all, but I know people that are doing this, and some have had success at this, so I'm not saying that this is something you shouldn't do. I think you should do you, but you should definitely do your due diligence and understand the rules of the game. So if you're going to get into an asset that is not performing and is dependent upon performance and getting refinanced in either 14 months or 24 months, understand that you are not going to have that cash flow in that first 12 to maybe 24 months or whatever that short time frame is. So you're going to have to raise more money. You're also going to have to typically pay a higher pref because the upside is much stronger on those deals, but also the risk is there too. Now, some people will say, I'm going to raise even more money just so in case a correction happens that I'll be able to sustain that 10% pref, you know, for a longer period of time. And I'm telling you that we all know, the smartest folks that I know in this business are telling me that a correction is coming. It isn't a matter of if, it's a matter of when. We usually have one every 7.5 years or so. And so what is happening is you have low rates right now, which is fantastic, but you see people, one, trying to force deals. So we call it ignorant money. So there's people that get excited about doing deals and they'll overpay just to get the deal. You never want to overpay just to get the deal. See, one thing.
I have a good term for that money. Sure. Dumb and dumber money.
Dumb and dumber money, right? And so, you know, and it's funny because it is relative. You know, if you got $100 million sitting out there and you just want to spend it somewhere and you get hurt for $1 million or whatever, it's probably not going to hurt you. But for most of us, they don't have that ability to absorb those kind of big changes and losses. And so you're seeing people that come into the market that are excited for a lot of different reasons, and they're wanting to force a deal. One thing I learned in single family is that I have never in my life, not one time in single family, Mike, have I ever bought on cash flow alone. Okay? But in the multifamily space, this is what you hear about all the time. Cash flow, cash flow, cash flow. And that's great. It is an awesome opportunity to have residual cash flow. And one of the big reasons that you get involved in it. But I want to warn future multifamily investors from looking at lots and lots of deals now, and our underwriting team looking at lots and lots of deals. If you start buying just on cash flow alone, you are putting yourself in a position of risk that you should not be in, okay? Because a correction is going to happen, and you should be looking at what's the value of the asset. Now, here is the rub in the gray. In multifamily, everything's kind of quoted based value on cap rates and on cash flows, things like that. But if you have a $5 million asset, I'm saying just because it's cash flow and showing it's a $5 million asset, don't buy it for $5 million, okay? You still have to get a discount of what the value is of that asset. You still got to do your due diligence and negotiate. That doesn't end, right? These folks that want to sell these 70 plus unit multifamily assets, they already understand that whatever price that you guys agree to on the LOI, the letter of intent, is going to most likely change by the time it gets to closing, and you may have to retrade once or twice. They already know it. They actually probably already build in the buffer idea So really what it comes down to is, do you know the rules of that game or not? Right? Because whenever you start going through your due diligence and you start finding out things that was presented to you in one way that gave you the bill that told you why you were going to make this offer, and it turns out it's something completely different, Mike. I've seen this retrade, right? Which is basically a fancy word in this multifamily for renegotiation. I've seen this retrade sway as much as $1 million difference. $1 million difference. Now let that sink in for a second, okay? So whenever you start buying just for cash flow alone, you don't know the rules of this multifamily game. You need to spend a lot of time understanding how to value assets. One thing I recommend, this book's I was just on Joe's podcast. Awesome guy. I learned a lot from Joe. Has a great podcast called The Best Ever Podcast. This book, look how thick this thing is, Mike. This book is on my desk, and I'm referencing this book constantly, right? Because, and other books too, right? And just constantly books. But these books on multifamily investing specifically are going to teach you from people that have done it, right? Another guy named Michael Blanc, people that have done this kind of investing. You know, Corey Peterson, my partner, the big kahuna. The people that have done this investing, they understand that they're not just buying on cash flow alone. You have to understand to buy on the value of that asset. Now, there's two ways we all know to make money in the multifamily game, Mike: increasing rents and decreasing expenses, right? Now that, when you start understanding how all the different intricacies, all the ways that you can do that, and those slight little things that you save $10 here, $20 here, $30 here, it's not just on one unit. That's what's so cool about multifamily. It's on, if you're on a 200 unit, that's $30 now on 200 units. That's $6,000. Not just one. I mean, that's not just a one time. It's $6,000 a month, right? Now you're looking at a much bigger gain. Now it's $72,000 a year on one little tweak. And that changes your NOI, your net operating income, dramatically. And that's what we're looking at in this game of multifamily: value and how can we increase rents, and the ability to do so by understanding local real estate, by understanding the game, how it's played, right? And negotiations. Negotiations are going to be critical for you to be able to purchase that asset, determining the motivation of the seller, and finding out why they want to sell, what situation that they're in, how fast they need to sell, because in multifamily, timing is everything. I'll say it one more time, Mike. Timing is everything in multifamily. The last week of you closing is what all of this comes down to. And it's not for everyone, because it has a lot more pressure involved, but I love it. I love learning. I love being stretched. And it's an exciting time to be in multifamily.
Corey, great points. I certainly appreciate that the time is of essence on many deals. Obviously, commercial deals fall into the same category. And yeah, brilliant nuggets. That they call it death by a thousand cut, or the reverse. It's, you know, it's a beautification by a thousand little things. So you're improving the property and improving the cash flow with a few small improvements in each one, having the economy of scale. You know, if you figure it out, you change, you know, light bulbs on every, you know, and you're saving $10 a month per property per door, and you have a lot of doors that is just savings.
And yeah, you can have forced appreciation, right? Which means obviously you're buying an asset at $5 million today, and you can sell it in like 3 or 5 years for $7 million. It's still the same asset, but you've got now more NOI, you've decreased the expenses, you raised rents, and you have forced appreciation. Also, the benefits wildly in commercial space in general, but multifamily, is tax advantages. You know, we don't have to go into all of that right now, but the tax advantages alone are a beautiful thing for multifamily.
Hey, agreed. So these value-add projects, especially with new tax laws, you can write off in the first year your investment. So your capital expenditures could be written off. You certainly can show losses first year and significantly reduced taxable income. from that perspective. So you can have great cash flow and limited tax liabilities, or minimal tax liabilities initially. And you did cover on a couple of key points. And the moment you get involved with value add projects, you have to set the right expectations. The cash flow is limited while you're doing the value add, which is key. We love value add projects, but you have to set up right expectations as an investor. We're sort of running out of time. I'd love to talk more on the finance side. Certainly, it's my genius zone. I love that. And your genius zone is marketing, and your genius zone is certainly negotiation.
So I can tell you this, Mike, is that we do our best to try to get 10-year money. Sometimes you can get it, but sometimes it's 7 years. And you just really need to make, and sometimes it's more than 10 years, which is great. But do your best to find 10-year money, and so you don't pigeonhole yourself into having to sell, having to refi at a pressed time when you're like trying to sell this asset. So that's definitely key. Right now there is incredible rates. I mean, absolutely incredible rates, and many are saying it's even going to go lower. So it's not unheard of right now to get a 3.7, 3.9 rate with Fannie or Freddie. You can get bridge loans when you can't get there to make sure that you can get the asset acquired. You're going to pay a little higher on that bridge for a while. It means you're going to have less cash flow. It's going to be a higher interest rate. So you're going to pay more, but at least you got the deal done. A lot of people out there, bridge lenders, will help you do that for a year, 2 years, maybe interest only, just to get you over the hump. And then when you refinance, as long as you have clean books, as long as you're performing, the asset is doing what you say it's going to, for what your actuals are and what your plan is versus what they had. And as long as you have a good team, a financial team that you're working with that has got experience and that understands what your vacancy rate needs to be, physical and economic, and what those parameters look like, what kind of loan that you're going to get, how long it's going to take. If you're going to do any kind of assumptions, there's conditions on assumption loans. So again, learning the rules of this game is very important, and you cannot do it by yourself. It's not a one-man show. I don't know one person I've seen that says, I buy multifamily and I do it all by myself. It just doesn't happen. It's like trying to run Amazon by one person, right? Jeff Bezos is one founder, but he has to have everybody else involved. The team member is so important on this game. And by the way, it's not a zero effect with when you're playing in this game either. So like, you can have team members and work with multiple people. There's more than enough deals out there. There really is, even though people are saying, I can't find any deals. The same conversation you're saying, I can't find any deals, you get into another group and they're saying, I got too many deals to underwrite right now. I there's too many deals. So it all comes down to how you're wanting to find those assets. And I'm doing my best right now to find assets for direct response marketing, but building relationships with brokers, letting everybody know in the area that this is what you're doing. If they have a deal, bring it to you. So that's very, very key process in this.
Corey, this is great stuff. I appreciate your wisdom. And again, you're a brilliant marketer and a brilliant negotiator. So you are maximizing your genius zone and your strengths. And a lot of great pointers. So we are unfortunately out of time. I greatly appreciate your wisdom. Thank you again. How would folks find you? If they have some questions, they want to reach out. I know you provide coaching. What's the best way to reach you? Is there a good email, website?
Well, I want to say one thing, Mike. You are absolutely a genius in the finance zone and in many areas too. You and I have done transactionally millions of dollars together. You and I have worked together in a lot of different capacities, not only in being a part of the same mastermind for years and years and years. You're just a great human. My wife and I have come up there and visited you. We had the best food that you introduced us to, some great Russian food. Just an absolutely great human, had us in your home. So I just love and grateful for our friendship, my friend. And anybody that, if you're listening right now and you have any questions about creative financing, running the numbers a certain way, doing any kind of modeling, Mike, you are absolutely a genius at that. And I highly recommend that you talk to Mike about that. If you're interested.
I'm humbled. Thank you very much. And I treasure our relationship how would people find you if they wanted to reach out with you and they need a little coaching, how to get into multifamily, or they have some questions?
So if you're interested in some coaching, go to coryboatright.com, CoryBoatright. And if you have any kind of multifamily investments, it's funny because I've been on social media for a long time. You know, marketing's my thing. And many people send me direct messages, emails, I mean, text messages. Now Mike is like, hey, I got a deal. It's 82 units in, you know, North Dakota. Are you interested? I'm like, I need to know a little bit more. So I created this simple site. It's called apartmentevaluator.com. Apartmentevaluator.com. I'd love if you have a deal and you want us to run it by to see if it checks out. Most of them don't, but if it checks out, then it'd be a great opportunity for us to have a further discussion about that. And then my own company is called Investing Capital Group. So if you go to investingcapitalgroup.com, you can read a little bit about our team, some of the things that what we're doing right now, some of the assets that have been taken down and in management now. And I'd love to connect with you there. Of course, if you're on social media, Facebook, Instagram, anything like that, just type in my name and you'll be able to find me.
Great. Thank you very much for your wisdom, for sharing, for giving, and appreciate our friendship. I think we're out of time. So until the next time. So thank you again. Again, you were the first. You come again, and I'm sure I'll invite you again after a little while because you have so much to give. So thank you.
Honor. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you for listening to the Big Mike Fund Podcast. To receive your copy of Mike's How to Choose a Smart Real Estate Fund book, head to BigMikeFund.com or visit Amazon and type Mike Zlotnick. Keep listening and keep investing Big Mike style. See you on the next episode.